Hey, everybody, it's Journey Reeves with Mind Your Body. How are you today? It is a beautiful day in Arizona. We are here today talking about skin cancer. Those of you who are not familiar with my show, my name is Journey Reeves. I own a company called Mind Body Unlimited. It is called that, and the basic philosophy behind it is that the more I can educate people on how the mind and the body work together, if you are healthy, you can take care of people, you can live your life fully, and you can have an unlimited number of opportunities available to you. We've been talking about metabolic syndrome for the last couple of months, so we're going to wrap that up and start talking about something that has hit our family very recently, skin cancer. Being here in Arizona, you would think, skin cancer is pretty prevalent out here. Believe it or not, is not the number one state in the union for skin cancer, but it is close, and we're going to dive into that. I have some really terrific guests today. I have Leah Haben, the beautiful Leah Haben from Smart Femme, is going to join us and talk to us a little bit about her story. I believe this is the first time she has spoken about it, so we're going to give her a chance to really talk about what her experience has been. Everybody should also know that I was recently also diagnosed with skin cancer. Went in for a much overdue check on skin cancer, and they found 5 spots. 2 of them they took care of right away. 2 of them need to be surgically removed, which gets done shortly here in June. And then 1 of them, they're using a cream. So there's lots of different types of skin cancer. There's lots of different issues with skin cancer. And there's a ton of different treatments out there for skin cancer. So we're going to try and get to all of that today. Before we do, let me bring you guys up to speed on everything that's going on. If you have any questions or you're new to the show and you want the archives, please go to mindbodyunlimited.com. And then you can just click that radio tab, and it will give you all the archive links to all of the metabolic syndrome, which is very important, and we covered it pretty thoroughly. Dave, Isaac, and I did. I brought in a lot of really great guests and a lot of really important information that people need to know because it is the number one killer in the United States. Now, we're switching gears to skin cancer, and the first thing I do before I introduce Leah is give you guys a little bit of statistical information because I'm a little bit of a geek there. I love to have my facts in front of me. And this is from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. This is a government website. Skin cancer is the most common form of cancer. So some people may think it's breast cancer. Some people may think it's colon cancer. It is not. It is the most common form of cancer. The statistics I'm about to give you are for melanomas, and we're going to get into the different kinds. Melanoma is the kind that, if left untreated, will kill you. So I want you guys to understand that these statistics are serious. They're important. People need to understand that this is something that is growing very, very quickly as we start to get an older generation, our last generation, hopefully, that did not get covered up with sunscreen as youth. And hopefully at the end of this show, when we wrap it up, we'll be talking a lot about prevention, and we can watch these numbers go down based on the efforts of the people out there trying to make it happen. So 59,000 plus people in the United States were diagnosed with malignant melanomas, okay? And believe it or not, there's more men than women. It looks like about a two-thirds men, one-third women there. In 2008, which is the last statistics they have on deaths, 8,600 people in the United States died from melanoma. So we're not talking anything small here. We're talking about major deaths that are happening on a very regular basis. So what I would like to do is I would like to talk a little bit about the personal experience of a friend of mine who I just respect. She's a beautiful girl. She's spent a lot of time on television, and unfortunately her skin cancer hit a part of her body that could not be hidden by clothing. I'm very blessed and lucky that my skin cancer hit my chest and my back and my arm and my forehead, which could be covered with bangs. I now have a new hairdo. But unfortunately, Leah Haben got it right on her face. So, Leah, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Leah. How are you?
I'm really good. I'm so happy that you're bringing this to light for a lot of people. So many people really don't realize just how deadly skin cancer can be.
Yep. And if you could really quickly talk about just a timeline, what did you notice was going on? Tell us a little bit your story from the very first day that you noticed something might be wrong.
Well, interestingly enough, it looked like I had been going to my doctor for years. It was a flat, kind of freckle-looking thing, looked like pregnancy mask. As a matter of fact, I would go to my doctor every year and say, what can be done? And he says that, you know, I was always told that it's pregnancy mask because it wasn't raised or anything. It just kind of looked like a large freckle. And finally, when I changed insurance plans, I went to a different doctor for, a skin rash. And, you know, he gave me a cream. He goes, but I want to take a biopsy of that. And he goes, I said, well, I've had it checked out for years. And they said it was a pregnancy mask. He goes, well, how old is your child? And, you know, I told him, and she was not a baby anymore. She's pretty much an adult. And he goes, it is not pregnancy mask. And so we had to do a biopsy, and I got the phone call, and, you know, it's never a good thing when they want you to come in, they won't tell you anything. If the results are fine, they tell you on the phone.
Yep, just had that recently happen, so I'm right there with you. Now, how long had you had that? How long had they been telling you that it was pregnancy mask?
About
how many years?
10 years.
Okay.
About 10 years.
10
and
years.
I am going to tell you that you really have to go to a dermatologist, a really good dermatologist that specializes in skin cancer, because I went and I had it checked out all the time, and I was told for years that it was nothing by a general practitioner.
So when you're in the new doctor's office and he's looking at it and he says, look, I really want to take a biopsy of this, did you have a feeling? Did you know?
Yeah.
Or not really?
I, to be honest with you, I was relieved that somebody finally said something, because, I hate to say this, but we tend to place, doctors on pedestals, that they're gods and that they know everything. And I have found that they do call the medical profession a practice for a reason. And I feel like I was definitely practiced on, and to be given this information, and through the years, you know, that little freckle grew and grew and grew.
Okay.
And had I had that diagnosed correctly the first time, I wouldn't have had to fly to Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota for an 11-hour surgery to remove it all. They've removed pretty much the entire right side of my face.
And now, you know, and to jump forward a little bit, they did a beautiful job at it. But let's go back just for a second and talk about, you get that phone call and they want you to come in, and they sit you down, and what do they say?
They are going over, there's a couple of different things. You know, I had a couple of different options, but the doctor told me based on, I had a rare form of skin cancer that I had contracted as a child. You know, when I was a kid, they didn't have sunscreen or sunblock.
Yep.
Called Lentigo maligna. And they did not have, they do not have the operating, they don't have the skill set needed to surgically remove that particular type of cancer here in Arizona. So I absolutely had to go there. I had what they call Mohs surgery, which, because my cancer was so progressive, I was on the operating table for 11 hours, and they were just taking out piece by piece and, you know, putting it under a microscope. And it took 11 hours to get it all out.
And how deep did they have to go, Leah?
I can't even look at the pictures to this day,
okay.
But it went very, very deep. It went very deep. It was about the size, probably a baseball. I had what's called, I had to have 6 derma closures, four flaps and two skin grafts. They had to take the skin from behind my ears, both ears, to cover. They stretched my skin. They had to cut my neck. They had to cut to try and stretch my skin, and there wasn't enough skin to cover the hole.
So they're doing skin grafts, and they're doing obviously there's a cosmetic surgeon involved in this somehow, because this is your face, correct?
There was a whole team. Yeah. I had about 12 doctors. Doctor, I probably wouldn't be here if it weren't for Dr. Samir Mardini. I don't wish cancer on anybody, but if you do get it, I will tell you that Mayo Clinic, they not only treat the disease, but they treat the heart and the emotional aspects. I've never had a doctor that gave me a cell phone number and said, call me if you need anything. And I didn't have one. He was the lead surgeon, but I had about 12 people in there.
And let's talk about that for a second, Leah, because this is your face, you know, and you're a public person. You're on TV. You're out in the public. People know who you are. And you go away and you have major surgery, which it sounds to me like, you know, not only was it physically very painful and very involved, because there's infection and there's all these other, you know, you think about everything that can start to go wrong, right, with something like that. Mm-hmm. But there's an emotional toll as well. And I think that most of us would love to think that we're not vain, right? We'd like to think that, oh, well, you know, I don't put too much emphasis on my looks. But the reality of it is that we all, at some very basic level, it matters to us. And particularly when it is a huge part of your job.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's been a year ago this summer that all this transpired for me. And I don't know what I would... It's funny when there's so many emotions that come with cancer. And, you know, the people that show up and drop in and out of your life during cancer. A lot of people can't handle the word cancer.
Yeah, they definitely can't. And, you know, I find that people kind of minimize skin cancer. And, I've never been one of them, only because I understand that even the kinds of cancers that they'll quote-unquote say are minor cancer can be disfiguring. So, but I realize that a lot of people are like, oh, well, it's just skin cancer. It's not cancer. It's skin cancer. And well, did you run into that at all?
I did, until people saw me.
Yeah.
You know, I think I couldn't even look in the mirror for a long time, but, you know, it was so almost, I mean, cancer is a death sentence. You know, it can be a death sentence if you don't have the proper medical treatment. And I'm just really upset that the press doesn't do enough to really educate people on the severity of skin cancer. They think that it's preventable, you know, and so they kind of tend to minimize it. And the fact is, my skin cancer I contracted as a child, and all of us have the ability to, we all have the cancer mechanism in our bodies, and it can be triggered at any time. So the only real way to know and to stay cancer-free, skin cancer-free, is to be checked. You have to be checked, and there has to be preventative maintenance.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting to me because I as you know, and I'll let everybody else know, because I think all of you out there that are putting off getting checked for whatever reason. And for me, I had a very personal reason. I had a very, very difficult several years, not only economically, but personally. And I lost my health insurance. And so I knew that it was an issue for me. I was, you know, totally overexposed as a child to the sun. Cancer runs rampant in my family, and I knew that it was a risk. And I had some spots that I was watching, and I was watching them get worse. but I wasn't going because I didn't have insurance. So I finally, last October, ponied up the money, got some insurance, and surprisingly enough, and we've got a doctor who's going to join us here in a minute, and I'm going to pose this to him as soon as he's on. You know, insurance didn't pay for a check. Insurance did not pay for me to get a skin cancer check. That had to come out of my pocket. And I'm thinking, okay, you're going to pay for preventative, for me to go to the doctor and get my blood work, and you're going to pay for me to go get my annual woman exam, but you're not going to pay for me to go get my skin checked on a regular basis. So I have to ask the question, how many people are out there not getting checked when they, just because of financial reasons, because insurance won't pay for it? And this is, you know, each week I come on the show, we talk about the economic and political ramifications of health and well-being, and this is a big one. You know, if skin cancer is the number one killer, as I just said, it's the number one form of cancer in the United States, not the number one killer, forgive me, the number one cancer in the United States right now, and insurance isn't covering a check. Does that, Leah, give me your thoughts on that for a second.
Well, first of all, I'm just absolutely shocked because your skin, I have yet to figure out a way to completely, you know, and I have never been a skin worshiper or a sun worshiper ever. So to be able to completely live out of the sun, you know, it can't be done. I mean, we all have to deal with it, and if we don't deal with it, then we're going to have to deal with the medical costs that incur because we didn't catch it when it was treated earlier.
Exactly, and that's, you know, personally what I'm facing at this moment right now is I'm having three different types of treatments for two different types of cancers that had I gone in 3 years ago, you know, there's no way of saying you can't go back and say, well, it would have been a lot less expensive, but it's going to financially really, really mess me up. Now, Leah, I know that you've had your financial challenges as well with this. So this is something that's...
Oh, absolutely. I did have insurance. And even with insurance, you know, it's, you know, even with insurance and all the reconstructive surgeries that are covered, I'm still looking at well over $10,000 out of my pocket, and that's with full coverage insurance.
Yep. And
I don't think that people realize the ramifications of, you know, healthcare. First, don't get me started on that. But, you know, this is something that if, you know, we get our mammograms, we get, you know, the men get their prostates checked. First of all, we really need to start also including this in children.
Absolutely, because it's happening at younger and younger ages.
6-year-old died of melanoma a couple years ago, and there are reports that it's happening sooner and sooner and sooner.
Yeah, we're going to come back. We're going to meet with Dr. Jason Barr in just a moment. We're going to go to break. Leah, thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm. ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerham Baum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerham Baum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Journey Reeves. It's Mind Your Body. Today, we are talking about skin cancer. And on hold, we have Dr. Jason Barr. We've been talking to Leah Haben about her personal experience, which has just had to have been so scary. Leah, I just give you all the credit in the world for coming on and talking about this, because this is such a sensitive topic, I think, but an important one. So I really appreciate you coming on. Jason,
well,
go ahead.
I'm just going to say it's actually Dr. Jason's office that saved my life and found it. So I'm glad you were able to get him on the air.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited. So Dr. Jason Barr from Affiliated Dermatology, they have four different locations, North Scottsdale, downtown Phoenix, Anthem, and Deer Valley. Jason Barr, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Journey.
No problem. You've been listening to Leah's story, and, you know, hers is a little bit unique, yes?
Yes. Now, her story is a common one in that a patient will come in often for a rash or some other concern, and a melanoma is found on that exam. In other words, a patient often is not aware that they have skin cancer until they come into the office.
Okay, so in Leah's case, you know, she was walking around with this thing for a long time, and I had a very similar experience where the things I thought were the problem areas ended up not being the problem areas, and mm-hmm. the things that I couldn't see, obviously, in my back and the back of my arm that looked like nothing to me, like similar to what Leah described, you know, turned out to be, I have a melanoma on my back. I never mm-hmm. would have known that. So it goes mm-hmm. back to that. You have got to get checked, yes?
Absolutely, absolutely. I would recommend anyone living in Arizona at any age to have a check once a year at least. And then if there's a history of skin cancers, to maybe even increase that frequency to, say, 6 months or so.
Okay. And, you know, talk to us a little bit about you personally. How long have you been doing this, Dr. Barr?
I joined Affiliated Dermatology in 2006 after completing a residency in dermatology in Kingman, Arizona, which we did focus a lot, obviously, on skin cancers.
And did you decide that was sort of your calling? You felt that was where you were going to use your, you know, you're a doctor of osteopathic medicine, correct?
Mm-hmm, correct.
Okay, so I did my homework a little bit on you, and you know, you're seeing this more and more commonly, I would guess, you know, just coming from Kingman to the Phoenix area. And you guys, I'm going to guess, have a pretty busy practice.
We do. We only do medical dermatology and skin cancers. And Arizona has the highest amount of skin cancer in this country out of any other state. And we're second in the world only to Australia.
Okay, good to know.
And non-melanoma skin cancer, yes.
Can you call the CDC, because they don't have that on their website updated, so we need to get them to get with the program on the statistics.
That's true,
there.
And that is true, and the statistics really aren't kept as closely as they should be. And we're actually forming a foundation to work on that aspect of tracking the amount of skin cancer burden, specifically in Arizona.
Okay, so a couple of questions, Dr. Barr. Number one, could you briefly describe the three main types of cancer that you are seeing on a regular basis?
Yes, basically skin cancer is divided into two general types. There's melanoma and non-melanoma skin cancer. Melanoma skin cancer is thought of as a cancerous mole. And that can be anywhere head to toe. It's most commonly on covered areas of skin. And it's also more common in people that work indoors rather than outdoors. So we know that there's more melanoma cases where there's more sun, Arizona, for example. But the actual way the sun causes this, the melanoma cancer, is not clearly understood. The theory is possibly bad burns in childhood. We know that for each blistering burn you get in childhood, that's going to double your lifetime risk of a melanoma.
Dude, I'm screwed.
Me too.
You're still young.
My, you know, that was a rite of passage growing up, is you got that first serious burn of the summer because that was, you know, and here's the saddest part about it, I think, is in the Midwest, they really don't think it's a problem. I have a niece on Facebook, and she just posted a picture of her and her girlfriends laying out in a bikini, and they're very tender age. They're 20 years old, and I remember that so vividly. You know, we were putting baby oil on our skin at the time.
It appears we know more now, but kids are even worse now because now they have tanning beds are so popular nowadays, and they seem to be doing even more damage.
Well, and let's...
I'm going to jump in real quick. How are those legal? I mean, we know that they're directly... Is there any kind of legislation that's going to do something about that, Dr. Barr?
Actually, the tanning bed industry has their own political action committee, and they have a bigger budget than the American Academy of Dermatology. So,
they do, because they're coming out with their own statistics saying that beds are completely safe. And I just saw that.
Or that we need a healthy tan, or you need your vitamin D, and that's all false. Obviously.
Which is completely freaks me out. That one, the vitamin D thing, you can go out for 10 minutes in the sun and get your vitamin D for the day. So that one kind of skitzed me out when I heard that come through, because, you know, they say, you know, above, I guess, 35 latitude, people just aren't getting enough sun, and there's a vitamin D issue. And I'm like, well, there's a lot of foods that have vitamin D too. So we, you know, this is not an excuse to go lay out in the sun with your girlfriends.
You're exactly right. Our body gets 90% of our vitamin D from the diet, regardless. So the contribution that the skin gives is actually minimal. So that's kind of a misnomer in that respect. And you can always either change your diet or, of course, just do supplementation.
Well, and Leon, I think we talked about this too, is that you can come up with a statistic to prove anything. So I'm always checking.
I so agree. Checking
my facts, because when you bring up the tanning beds, you bring up a really great point, because now that I have skin cancer, and it's very active. I mean, they're taking a melanoma off of me June 25th. I now spray tan. Okay, so that's my new thing. So I walked in, and I never spray tan before. So I walked in, and I'm like, oh, I'm here for spray tan, and every woman that walked in the door was not coming in for a spray tan. They were coming in for a tanning bed. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say something, but of course I didn't, because I just wanted to get in there and get out. But you know, I think Leah hit on something really, really important, is the habits and the behaviors are not changing from what I've seen. And then, you know, Dr. Barr, you're watching it show up at younger and younger ages, I would guess.
Absolutely. We're having 16-year-olds come in with obvious cancers on their face already. And it's scary to think. And getting back to, we talked about melanoma, and then there's non-melanoma skin cancer, which is the basal or squamous cell carcinomas. And they're more common on chronically exposed areas. So they're the ones that are going to be on your head, your arms, back of the hands, and they are directly, linearly related to UV exposure.
Okay. And, you know, people think, oh, well, it's not a dangerous form of cancer. What would you say to that?
Basal cell and squamous cells usually are not. However, they are very locally destructive. In other words, they don't stop growing just because there's cartilage or bone there. They will go right through and take a tip of a nose off or an ear off. And that's why it's important to also be screened for those types of carcinomas.
Yeah, because even though they won't kill you, it will disfigure you pretty quickly, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, I would hate to use a scare tactic here, but I think I'm just going to go in that direction for this show, because I want people to understand how very, very important it is. So we've got, you know, there's malignant and there's non-malignant, but just because it's non-malignant, it still needs to be checked on a regular basis, because it does spread. I can tell you, I watched mine spread on my forehead for years before I finally went in and had someone do it. Let's talk about there's different kinds of cancer, so there's different kind of treatments. Can you talk really quickly about the different kinds of treatments and what you would use them for?
Absolutely. Well, treatment is almost usually surgical for both melanoma and non-melanoma skin cancer. For a melanoma, you would want to take, depending on the thickness under the microscope of the melanoma, either 5 millimeters, 1 centimeter, sometimes even 2 centimeters or more around the primary tumor surgically. Lentigo maligna is a separate case. Lentigo maligna is a rarer form of melanoma in situ, usually on the cheeks or forehead of chronically sun-exposed skin. And that treatment, we'd actually do something called a slow Mohs technique, where we would excise just where we think the melanoma is, bandage the patient, and then bring the patient back after a day or two after we get the pathology reports, and we repeat that process till the tumor's all gone.
And okay, so that doesn't sound like very much fun.
No.
I can tell you from my experience, 11 hours with Mayo, it wasn't a fun process for me.
Okay, and here's it because they have to keep going back and checking it, and they have to wait for the margins to be clear is the terminology or the verbiage
correct
that they use. They need to make sure that it hasn't, you know, that they've gotten all of it, right?
You're correct, because a lot of cases you'll see a small dime-sized brown spot, and lo and behold, the tumor itself is a half dollar, and there's no way of seeing with the naked eye how big it is.
And how, you know, again, let's go back. Let's get checked, everybody. You've got to get checked because you don't see it. You can't tell. I mean, they're going to, well, let's go back to treatments again. Like, let's say somebody goes in, they get checked. Talk a little bit about the Mohs procedure in more detail. Like, how often are you doing that?
I do Mohs surgery every Wednesday, typically 8 to 10 cases a day. And what we do, if you'd have, say, for example, a basal cell carcinoma on your nose, you'd come in for Mohs surgery, we'd numb the tissue, I would take just what I think that tumor is by maybe a millimeter, and we remove that layer of skin, bandage the patient, and then as the patient waits, we actually make slides, and I examine that whole piece of skin that I just removed under the microscope, both the whole rim around it and the whole base underneath it, looking for any remaining tumor. If there's remaining tumor, then I go back to the patient and remove just that area again. And we repeat that process until the tumor is clear.
And how long does that take?
It can take anywhere from a couple of hours to a whole day.
So Leah's not unique in that way at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. And that using that technique properly gives us over a 90% cure rate in 5 years, which is better than standard surgery, which would produce a bigger defect. Standard surgery would compared to Mohs.
Okay, the standard surgery is going to be on your melanomas mostly?
The standard surgery, I mean, if you would go to a surgeon without the Mohs technique, standard surgical margins for a basal cell carcinoma calls for 5 millimeters of normal skin around it. So that can leave a pretty big defect.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the cream. There's a cream out there right now. And I'm kind of curious about it because they gave it to me for my forehead, and I'm just getting started with it. Can you talk to us a little bit about it? I think it's called Aldera cream. Is that correct?
Now, the preliminary lesion to a basal cell or a squamous cell carcinoma is called an actinic keratosis. If you think of the epidermis, which is the top layer of skin, as a brick wall, when the first couple top brick layers are turning bad, you'll just get a little red, scaly, or scabby spot that keeps coming back and doesn't go away. That's a precancer, an actinic keratosis. And those we treat by spraying with nitrogen, typically. But there are also some other prescription chemotherapy-type creams or immunomodulating creams that we can use to topically treat entire areas at one time. And what that'll do is you can either use topical 5-fluorouracil, which is called Effudex, among other brand names. And then there's Aldera, which is another type of cream. And you, for example, if you want to treat your forehead, you'd apply cream either a few times a week or twice a day for a set period of time, and that'll destroy all those precancerous lesions as well.
And that's pretty successful? Are you finding a lot of success with that?
It's pretty successful. Unfortunately, most of my patients might try it once, but they usually don't try it again because of the discomfort and the unsightliness while you're being treated.
Yes, I don't know if you heard that part of my show, but I have a new bang job. I had my stylist do my bangs differently because I'm going to have a big red splotch on my forehead for the next 3 months.
Right.
They've got me on a 3-month plan, but it's okay. Wow. I have bangs. You know, it's hiding my forehead wrinkles anyway. It's cool.
Hey, it's better than going under the knife.
Right? Because the option was the Mohs treatment. And, after she explained it and told me how much it was going to cost, because, of course, now I have to use up my deductible. It's not like this is free. I got insurance, and I'm going to be paying for this. And she said, you know what, let's try the cream first. And if the cream doesn't take care of it because it's a pretty large area, then we'll go under the knife from there. But the other two are being excised, but this one they decided to do with the cream. So I'm glad to hear. Do you have a statistic on, you gave a 90% success rate over 5 years for the surgery. What about the cream?
It depends on the type of tumor you have. You might have a basal cell carcinoma, but we don't know if it's a superficial basal cell carcinoma. That's really the only type that's amenable to topical treatment. If it's an invasive basal cell carcinoma, standard treatment is still surgical. You would not want to do a cream treatment.
Okay. Okay, so that's good information. So if somebody was going to come to you and they get checked and they're, there's like the little spots that are precancerous that you talked about that, I've been shot with the nitrogen before as well. I had a couple of those taken off when I was in. Are you finding that people are coming back for follow-up?
They do, for the most part. They do. Our follow-up rate is pretty good. And we have a good rapport with our patients.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Leah likes you.
Thank you.
So go ahead, Dr. Barr, and give us a little bit of information on how someone would get a hold of you.
We have a website. It's affderm.com. That is affderm.com. Or you can also call our office. Our number is 480-556-0446, and that's the central number for all offices. And that's it. I would like to spend one more minute on prevention.
Absolutely. That's exactly where we're going next. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, it's all about prevention for the rest of the show. So hang on tight, and we'll be right back.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm, a family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins. Great family law attorneys and more.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
right, everyone. Welcome back. It's Mind Your Body with Journey Reeves. On the line, I've got the beautiful Leah Haben and Dr. Jason Barr, who is a specialist in dermatology that's specific to skin cancer. Welcome back, you guys. We are going to kind of switch gears here a little bit and start talking about prevention, okay? We've talked about what's out there. We've talked about the prevalence of it. We've talked about the devastation that it can cause physically and emotionally and financially, obviously. But let's talk about what we could do. Let's say we could just, in a perfect world, we could just stop this in its tracks. Leah, we're going to start with you. I know you've been sort of researching this, and we're going to talk to you a little bit about what you have discovered in the prevention end of this.
Well, fortunately for me, SmartFem has allowed me to meet with some really amazing people. And Dr. Barr, I actually brought some of this to your office, but Mayo Clinic is now carrying it. One of my clients, the founders and they made a product called Solis. It's a body wash with a built-in sunscreen. And it's very unique, and they created it for athletes because it's so greasy. It's got a great texture and feel to it. But I like it because I can wash with it every day. I can put it on my face, and I don't have to worry about my makeup sliding off. But I also, when I took it to Mayo, and Mayo scrutinizes everything before they agree on any kind of product, they are actually carrying it now. So I was very pleased with that. And I love the fact that it was discovered in Arizona by a semiconductor engineer, of all things, who created it for his own children because he said putting sunscreen on little boys was like greasing pigs. But it took him about 15 years to formulate. He's jumped through all the hoops with the FDA, and now it's not only recognized by the National Skin Cancer Foundation, but it's recommended by them. And I personally don't like, and I use sunscreen, but I don't like it. And I need something every day, and I don't get in the sun, but it's my understanding that, you know, it's the everyday exposure, just walking to the mailbox or, you know, driving, you know, because yeah. I think that we all use the common sense when it comes to, you know, if we're going to be out at the lake or something, we put the sunscreen on. It's the times that we don't use it is what my understanding is, and I am no means a doctor or professional, so I'll let Dr. Barr handle that. But that's just been my personal experience. I like the product. It seems to be working for me. And
okay. Spell it for me so that everybody can knows and recognizes that name.
Solis is spelled S-O-L-I-S-E.
Okay. And where can you get that?
Well, right now you can get it online, although Solis, they just finished a contract with QVC, and QVC has asked them to be able to make it available to everybody. They decided not to mass produce it because it's a body wash and a hand wash, and to mass produce it, it would make it cost prohibitive to everybody. Okay. It would like double the cost. So they, until they figure out and grow bigger as a company, I think that's where their growing pains are, but it's a really superior product.
Okay, so it's good to know. Yeah, it's good to know that stuff's being developed. Dr. Barr, let's go back to you for a moment and just give us your thoughts and your opinions on the best ways to prevent someone having to come see you in the first place.
Well, Leah hit the nail on the head with every day. It's something she does every day. And what I try to impress on my patients is you have to have sun protection on your face every single day. I hear very commonly, well, I never tan. I never lay out. Just being here in Arizona, we get dosed with ultraviolet radiation on a daily basis, kind of the background effect. And over a 10-year period, that's actually what builds up and causes the problem. So you need to be wearing a minimum of SPF 30 on your face every day. Just after you brush your teeth, put that SPF 30 on every single day.
Yeah, and you have to reapply, right? I mean, it doesn't last all day, does it? Or does it?
Correct. Reapplying is better. Now, a 30 SPF will block 98% of the UV. Now, you know, you can go to a higher number, SPF 100 plus, even 80, 100, even higher than that. If you're going to be out going golfing or hiking or what have you, you want the higher number on because it'll last longer. In other words, it'll wipe off less quickly than the 30 SPF will.
Yeah, and I believe they've come a long way on the formulations. A lot of makeups now have a built-in sunscreen as well. So I would, okay, like let's say I now have listened to the show and I'm a little more serious about it. I use my Solis on my face to wash my face, and then I put my sunscreen base on, and then I put my makeup that has even more sunscreen on it. I'm going to be pretty well covered for the day, yes?
That sounds pretty good.
Okay. That's that, you know, I just, I'm always telling my kids, reapply. So I just, you know, I want to clarify that. I have children who spend a significant amount of time out in the sun. It's Arizona. We're outdoor people. Their dad's got a boat. They're out for hours and hours and hours. And can you talk a little bit about what we should be doing for our kids and what we should be teaching our kids about this?
Well, you obviously want to avoid any blistering burns for sure. You want to use high SPF, broad spectrum sunblock or sunscreen. A lot of parents have concerns about chemical sunscreens. What they can do is cause allergic or irritating rashes from time to time. And if patients voice a concern of that nature to me, I recommend just a physical block without any chemical sunscreens. In other words, just titanium or zinc that reflects all the UV off the surface. You can find products just with those as well. You also want to avoid peak sun. Peak sun is 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and because of the way our atmosphere aligns, when the sun's directly overhead, that gives us the least amount of atmosphere to deflect that UV. So UV is always worse during that time as well.
Okay, and they make a lot of clothing now. They make swimsuits and they make other clothing that has SPF in it. Is that effective?
Absolutely, it's effective. But remember, most of that is the technology is actually a chemical sunscreen that's introduced into the fabric, and that effect actually goes away after time with washing. So, those products are effective, but they won't last a really long time.
Okay, so like kind of like your sunscreen, you want to throw it out after the season's over and get yourself a new set of sunscreen,
or maybe a few seasons.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Good. The less I have to buy my kids' clothes, the better.
I have a question for Dr. Barr. Dr. Barr, is titanium dioxide still the best sunscreen?
Titanium and zinc are both sun blocks because they're not chemical sunscreens. Yeah, titanium and zinc, and most products have a combination.
Uh-huh.
And it'll say it on there, so that's what you should be looking for.
Correct.
Okay, awesome. And then we've also got the clothing, and then staying out of the direct sunlight. My company actually sells large sunshades for play areas, and in Arizona, it's just more and more playgrounds and more play areas. You know, everything from your schools to your churches to wherever are offering shade structures that actually are designed to deflect those rays off. So worst case scenario, just find the shade and stay in it. Is that good advice?
Absolutely.
Okay. So because you're not going to, unless it's bouncing up off the asphalt or something like that, then you're pretty much well covered there. You want to stay as covered up as you can. Dr. Barr, do you want to get into a little bit of, have you seen any research come through about how your diet plays a role in the exacerbation of cancer as a whole and skin cancer in particular?
In general, you want a healthy immune system because it's obvious people whose immune system doesn't work quite as well, for example, in somebody that's gotten a renal transplant that is now on medications that reduce their immune system so they don't reject their renal transplant, their incidence of skin cancer is 300 times more than the normal person. So we know that our immune system does have a big role both in cancer development and the course of how that of your cancer goes. So anything that would increase your immune system, such as a healthy diet, reduce stress, increase exercise, those things all will help.
Okay, so that sounds kind of like what I'm telling people on a regular basis anyway. Reduce your stress, get rest, sleep. We talk about that. We've talked about that in past shows, and again, you can get those from my website and go through those at your leisure. But we talk a lot about that: eating healthfully, getting regular, appropriate types of exercise, and really covering up from the sun. no amount of sun. Can we say that, Dr. Barr? Can we say that no amount of sun is good at this point? Or
absolutely, there's no such thing as a healthy tan. And I think our skin would prefer us all to live in Seattle or perhaps Ireland rather than Arizona.
You know, I purposefully, on a personal note, picked the hottest, warmest, sunniest place in the world to come live because I'm so affected mentally by the darkness. I grew up in the Chicago area, and every winter I just wanted to put a gun to my head and pull the trigger because I was so miserable. So, you know, back in the day, I've been out here 12 years now, I was like, I'm just going to find the hottest, sunniest, happiest place on the planet, and I'm going to move there. And sure enough, I did, and I love it out here, and I love the lifestyle. But the reality of it is that the sun is so powerful and so strong here that it's just, you have to cover up. You have to be smart about it. There just isn't any other way around it at this point. No one is immune. And we're seeing the kids. Leah, was it you that was saying that there was a kid who was just diagnosed with melanoma not too long ago?
There was a six-year-old that has, I think it was about a year ago, that died of melanoma. They also had here's an interesting statistic. You know, Solis compiled a lot. John Bronson, former cardinal, they had a 22-year-old African-American that had a melanoma on his foot that went undiagnosed, and he ended up dying on the practice field. I think that a lot of people, Dr. Barr, and I talk to people all the time, that, you know, oh, I'm tanned, I'm Italian, I'm Mexican, I'm dark-skinned, you know, I don't burn, it won't happen to me. And I think that a lot of people, I think anybody can get it, depending on, you know, there is no racial preference, is my understanding. Although the fair people tend to get it more, it's more visible on us. Can't anybody contract it?
Anyone can develop a melanoma regardless of skin type. It is more common, however, in fair-skinned, especially Northern European-heritaged, red-haired, blonde, or blue-eyed.
Okay.
So it's more common in fair individuals, but, of course, anyone can develop melanoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a really close friend of mine who's from Asian descent, and they found a melanoma on her chest, and she has, like, a 3.5-inch scar on her chest now from taking that out. And you know, she never got checked because she didn't think. So I really think that, you know, especially in this day and age, if you see something that looks even remotely suspicious, you should be checked. I think if you see something on your child that looks remotely suspicious, you know, sometimes we forget to check our kids. We'll check ourselves and we'll, you know, we're kind of getting dressed in the morning and we notice a spot that wasn't there before. We might notice it. But, you know, I wonder how many parents out there really need to check their kids. You know, it's get checked, get checked, get checked. Would everyone concur?
Yes.
All right. Thank you guys so much for coming. www.smartfem.com for Leah Haben, www.mindbodyunlimited.com for myself, and www.affderm.com for Dr. Barr. I really appreciate all of you guys for coming in today. Any other questions, you can just contact us on our websites. I also have a phone number, 480-370-7768, for all of your health and fitness questions. Thank you, Dr. Barr. Thank you, Leah Haben. We had a great time today. Everybody have a great afternoon. Thank you so much for listening in.